Beloved people of God, I can imagine such a prayer as this as being quite foreign. We often pray for leaders such as Jacinda Ardern or Vladimir Putin or President Trump that his kingdom would endure, that he would be given power over kings of all the earth, that his kingdom would know no bounds, or her kingdom or her reign would know no bounds. That is a prayer that we would not pray. And in fact, we have rules and laws that curb this kind of earthly power. We make sure that these people only serve a certain term, and only as long as they are doing their job properly, and we are able to overturn or change governments. Yet the prayer of Israel at this time is that God's king would reign, that God's reign of righteousness through the king would reign not only over Israel, but throughout the earth, and that kingdom would endure forever, that kingdom would continue. See, this is a psalm, a royal psalm, and it focuses on that blessing that and promise that was given to David. And they saw that their peace, their joy, their hope was all bound up in a king that would rule with the righteousness of God. And so listen to these words promised to David in 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 16. I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people and will plant them that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even as the days that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and when you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you and will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever. And so when we look at this psalm, it is a prayer likely from David for his son Solomon. That title could mean a psalm for Solomon or of Solomon as in the author. But as we see this postscript, we can maybe understand this as David writing to his son. And if you look at Psalm 71, it speaks of an old man looking for deliverance. And as David's kingdom is drawn to a close, as he lies down with his father, he prays this with the fathers. He prays this psalm for Solomon, that his kingdom, that this son would establish peace, a peace that would endure, a peace that would bring peace throughout the land, throughout the nations. So we can see this psalm as a prayer for the son of David, that he may rule with God's righteousness and justice. And the people of Israel, who would have gathered these psalms together around the exile, would have also prayed this with a hope and an expectation, remembering the promises that God had given David, that he would rule through a king and that they would once again find peace, that they would no longer be oppressed in the exile. And again, when Israelite was ruled and reigned over by Rome, these words would have been spoken and they would have expected God to raise up yet a king again, to deliver them from the oppression of their enemies, that his kingdom would come and bring peace to the earth, that God's righteousness would know no bounds. And so that is our theme this morning. This is a prayer that the king would rule throughout the earth forever with God's righteousness. Again, our theme this morning, this is a prayer that the king would rule throughout the earth forever with God's righteousness. So we will look at this with three points. We will first of all see that request that the king would reign with justice. Secondly, there is a request that his reign would know no boundaries. And thirdly, there is a request that he would reign with long life. And so when we think of earthly kingdoms and earthly governments, the reason that we do not want a particular kingdom to last is because the kingdoms of this earth are flawed. We have that saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Those who have this much power will only use it for harm, and so we are immediately skeptical of those who have such great power. But the psalmist says, I want a king that rules and reigns with the justice and righteousness of God. My hope is in a king that is blessed with the righteousness of God, who knows God's laws and would justly punish evil and would upraise those oppressed. And so he prays that the king would be blessed in this sort of way. Last week we saw that an aspect of the king in Deuteronomy was that he needed to write down the law of God. He needed to write that down on a scroll just for himself, that he may meditate upon it, that he may read it regularly. But the hope and the expectation is not merely that those words would be on paper, but that they would be on his heart. That as the king, he would rule righteously as God has called him to do. Because the results of this would be great. That those who are poor and afflicted would, by the oppressor, would be delivered because of the justice. That's what verses 3 and 4 talk about. That the afflicted, and actually in verse 2 at the bottom, may he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. And may he crush the oppressor, because he knows right and wrong. And so the psalmist prays for the king and wants this justice to be given to him, this righteousness, because it will bring about a kingdom of peace. A kingdom where the oppressed will be given justice and evil would be crushed. But not only that, but there would be prosperity. Notice the words of verses 6 and 7. And these are words that David himself last recorded in 2 Samuel 23. Well, I believe this is more a psalm of David to Solomon. In 2 Samuel 23, his final words, he says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning with clouds when the tender grass springs out of the earth through sunshine after the rain." And that is the picture here in 6 and 7 as he says, "May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers on the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish in abundance of peace till the moon is no more." The king, when he rules in righteousness, brings about peace and prosperity, brings about flourishing for his people. And so the psalmist wants that perfect king. But we see, even though David prayed for this for Solomon, and even if Solomon wrote it for his son Rehoboam, which is another possibility, we recognize that those kings failed to establish a kingdom of peace that was lasting. And in fact, the prophets spoke of a future king, a future son of David who would bring peace to the earth and rest. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." The government that he brings, the kingdom that he brings, will deliver those who are oppressed, those who are stuck in darkness. And so, Paul says, "For he, God the Father, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." God the Father has taken us and delivered us and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, in which Jesus Christ came proclaiming, "The kingdom of God is at hand. I have brought this kingdom." And so, beloved people of God, we need an absolute monarch. I know that we cringe at that at times. But we need an absolute monarch. We need Jesus Christ who rules in God's righteousness and justice perfectly. We need to be submissive to that absolute monarch because he is just and he is righteous. He was the hope of the Israelites, and in his first coming he established that kingdom. And so Jesus' birth blesses us, moving us and helping us recognize that the kingdom of dark, that he can move us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we are ruled by him alone. But when we look to him for deliverance, we recognize that there is great consequence in this. For in that same book of Colossians, Paul continues on, and he says in Colossians 3, Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Here we get that picture of Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God where all authority is under him. But as we set our minds on things in heaven, the consequence comes in our lives, it says in 5 and 6. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God came upon the sons of disobedience. And so we are called to put off those old things that once ruled us, that we continue to grow up in this kingdom and submit ourselves, recognizing the goodness of this rule and reign. But we also need to put on the new self, who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And it goes on in Colossians 3:15 and following, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When we recognize God's good rule and how we can find peace and rest, we desire to submit ourselves to Him. But the prayer goes on in Psalm 72. For one that recognizes that peace comes with this absolute monarch, this great king who rules with perfect righteousness and justice, then it is natural for us to desire that the whole earth be influenced by this rule of monarch, that the peace does not just remain in one place, but it be spread throughout the earth. And again, in verse 8, it said, may he also rule from sea to sea, from the earth, from the river to the ends of the earth. The desire of the psalmist and the desire of our hearts should be that this kingdom goes forth to all nations, that the kings all bow down before him, that this would not have a geographical limitation, but all the earth would bow down to him and serve him and love him and live in peace in this kingdom of God. And again, as we read in Zechariah, a kingdom through those sons of David did not last. And they needed another one to come. Another one to come that would deliver the oppressed. On the one hand, you see verses 3 or 2 through 4, where there is a concentration on the vindication and the vengeance against those who are afflicting. But on the other hand, 12 through 14 talk about the rescuing of those who are afflicted, who are oppressed, who are needy. And we can see when Jesus comes, he comes humbly, but he comes as a servant who delivers the needy, who wants and helps the poor. And he delivers us from that greatest enemy, from that kingdom of darkness which rules over our souls. But he also, as he supports this kingdom, said, in Luke 4, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he sat down and said, "Today, this is being fulfilled." In the past couple weeks, I've been thinking about the planning meeting and contemplating what is the purpose of the church. What are we supposed to be doing here? And as I thought about our agenda and what was on that, I wanted to think about, does this fit what the purpose of the church was? And so I looked at it in a very broad way. And one theologian said, "The church is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and called into being by the Spirit of Christ. The church, therefore, must be like Christ, possessing at least some of his characteristics." Another way of putting it is that we are called to manifest Christ. We are called to reveal and show who Christ is in the way that we live as we submit to this kingdom of God. And so in 1 John 4, verse 17, it says, "As he is, so we are in the world." We are that body of Christ here to seek to serve those spiritually and physically. These were both manifestations that the kingdom of God was at hand as Jesus helped them both spiritually and physically. So we are called too to evidence his rule and his reign in our life and to spread that throughout the earth by proclaiming that gospel, by showing it in our lives, by meeting the needs of the poor and the oppressed, which is a part of that work of the King. Even James says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained from the world." And so to know this kingdom of God that rules in our hearts and brings about deliverance is one that we want to spread. And so we even pray in our prayer as Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." And what do we mean by that petition? Our Heidelberg Catechism lays it out very clearly. It says, what does the second request mean? "Your kingdom come" means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that we submit more and more to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's works. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that you are all in all. And so as we await for the second coming, the second advent, we continue to spread that gospel through our words and through our actions. And we continue to pray, "Come, Lord. Make your kingdom to its fullness now. Come quickly." Finally, the psalmist asks and desires that the king would that his reign would endure. Verses 5, 7, and 15 talk about this. It says in verse 5, "Let them fear you while the sun endures, as long as the moon throughout all generations." In verse 7, it talked about the abundance of peace till the moon is no more. In verse 15, "So may he live." the prayer of the psalmist is that this kingdom would endure, that this kingdom would last, that it would not have others rule over it, but that it would be established and firm and last. And so again, this focuses on that promise that God had given to David, that he would establish that throne of his kingdom forever, that that throne would be established forever, and it would rule for the length of days. And so the psalmist here has a hope in the royal Davidic dynasty, that house that God would build. And he prays that that kingdom would last and endure. And we recognize that when Jesus Christ came in his first coming, he established that kingdom. When he was born as a baby in a manger, he came as a humble king. As he rode on a colt of a donkey, this coming was entirely different than the second coming. But it truly did establish the work of Christ in our lives, bringing about forgiveness of our sins, delivering us spiritually from that domain of darkness. And though we still battle, we have that guarantee that he has completed his work and that he comes again. He will come again. And that too is what we celebrate at the Lord's table. That we proclaim this kingdom here in the midst of us until he comes again. And so we, people of God, have a lasting kingdom in Christ Jesus. It is a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of joy, a kingdom that is expressed here in our hearts and our lives as we live in hopeful expectation, as we live peaceful lives, knowing that he comes, he will come again. And so let us take advantage of those full benefits of his work as we rely on him, as we hear his word, and as we partake of his sacrament. Let us pray.